Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
Jerry wins. Jerry always wins.
This is Overdrive on TSN1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Noodles calling the Leaf game tonight. Leafs Islanders on TSN 4 at 7 o'clock. Pre-game at 6:30.
The last time JT shows up in an Islanders jersey?
You're very committed to that. I'm not as committed. Like, I think it's going to happen, but hockey players are so loyal. It's
I get it.
Absurd.
Maybe he loves Long Island more than anybody ever knows, but if his comments are true about I want to win, I want the team to be serious about winning. And if you look at his defense corps and the goaltending, that's got to mean something.
Well, Josh Bailey, his buddy, is on the verge of signing an extension with the Islanders. It sounds like it'll be a 5 or 6 year deal at around $5 million, give or take. And he's had a really good year. He's a good player. He's been there for a long time. I would assume that might factor into Tavares to an extent, but there's no reason to believe either way, you know, what's going to happen with Tavares. As we said in the previous hour, I hope he walks just for entertainment purposes. Not having anything to do with
just
Toronto.
Just for the movement purposes.
Yeah, give us some content. Like, you could picture a scenario here where he walks and goes to Montreal, and Carlson gets traded to Tampa, and then all of a sudden, the division, the Maple Leafs, are currently in just continues to get better and better and better. Now, Ottawa would be getting worse by doing that, but Montreal adding Tavares, getting Weber back healthy, Carey Price is still Carey Price. You know, that would change the complexion of that team pretty quickly. And if Carlson goes to Tampa, they're already a powerhouse or borderline a powerhouse. You add him into the mix with Hedman, that's Niedermeyer Pronger from 10 years ago.
And for those of you people that kind of get anxious or concerned about a William Nylander or a Mitch Marner's play, Josh Bailey, who you just mentioned, signed his big ticket, kind of coming into his own. He was a first-round pick from the Islanders 10 years ago. 10 years it took this dude to come around. I give the Islanders credit for even sticking with him. You look at some of the goal totals. Although, he wasn't exactly a sniper in junior either. Scored 29 in Windsor his last year. And then 7, 16, 11, 6, 13, 11. It's crazy.
Well, so maybe there's something more to this. What if he's just having a big contract year? That screams contract year kind of guy.
No kidding.
Big numbers. Now he's getting paid. And watch out, because the real Josh Bailey's returning as of next year. I don't know.
Yeah. Look at Patrick Maroon. You go into HockeyDB, that's the website, type in Patrick Maroon. 11 goals was his total before he teamed up with Connor McDavid. He ripped home 32, and they were in serious talks, I believe, in the summer. We got to re-up on this guy. Look what he is this year.
Boy, he's got to go now. You have to trade him.
No kidding.
He's getting traded, and he's not coming back to Edmonton. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Nylander and Marner and Matthews, they got so hot and so productive so quickly. Like, we do harp on Nylander and Marner. They each have, I think, 14 goals. They're on pace for 20, maybe a little
bit
less than
that. And whatever criticism we give them, or Brian, or expectations, they gave it to us. They showed us last year that these guys don't need that adjustment period. Or they're
right.
Stars immediately.
They are, but you still have to open the door for even more improvement in the future. That's what I'm saying. What if in 10 years, when these guys are 28, 29, they have a couple of 40-goal seasons?
Well, you just never know.
You never know. Like, I guess it potentially could go the opposite way. But if these guys are this good right now, how many players in league history have the best season of their career as a rookie? Like, it doesn't happen. You always get better. You always improve. You always round out your game.
Or trying to.
And I get the impression like these guys are pretty committed to that. Like, Matthew's the same thing. Matthews had a great year last year, 40 goals, 69 points. This year he's on pace for about the same prorated. He missed a bunch of games. What's he going to be in 4 or 5 years? Because I don't think he's just going to score 40 every single year and 65 to 70 points. I fully expect in 3 or 4 years he's going to be he's going to have a year where he scores 50 plus and he has upwards of 90, 95 to 100 points. Because he'll know the league that much more. He'll be more well-rounded. He'll be more experienced. He'll be even more comfortable. Like, he looks like he plays without a pulse to begin with. Wait until this guy's 5, 6 years into the league. Or 500, 600 games into the league. Same thing applies with McDavid, who hit the ground running the way that he did. All right, Pooley's in Montreal. It's Habs Rangers tonight, two teams that should be selling. Sounds like Michael Grabner won't even play tonight. There's a chance Rick Nash won't play either. And Dave Poulin joins Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial.
Dave, how do you handle these guys? Are you just saying to them, look, you're going to get moved. We're trying to move you. Just don't. You're just not playing and they're fine with it?
I think they're totally fine with it, Owen. I actually have to cut this interview a little bit short because I might be in the lineup tonight at the rate they're pulling guys. Wow. Like, I got a chance. I think I got a chance.
Yeah, really, you played a long time, Pooley. Why not? Defensive shutdown guy.
Oh, if we keep going and they keep pulling guys, we might have to call you in, too.
Oh, believe me. I would bring the heat. Oh, certainly could. But
and... You know, this morning, though, it's interesting, Owen and Brian, because this morning there was a calm in the Rangers room because they've been so forward with everything and so upfront with everything.
Yeah.
And like, there's a looseness and a calmness that Montreal is really tight right now. That locker room is really tight. And their play is tighter. And I was on that 4-game road trip.
Hang on a sec, Dave. Let me just clarify something. Do you mean tight as in the group is tight, like they're close together, or they're just so...
No, tense.
Oh,
tense,
okay. Tight. That's what I wanted tense, to know,
tight.
Yeah.
No, tense tight. And so I was on that Western Road swing other than the Vegas game. Oof. And they weren't very good at all. They did not play very well. And they'll say, well, we just can't score. And no, you can't. But they're not playing well. And they're playing like a team that's waiting for something significant to happen. And then we walked into the Rangers room this morning, and Matt Zuccarello's like, well, you hate when this happens. We put ourselves in this position, but, it looks like we're going to lose some good friends, and, we've had a good run here, and it's time for change, and it's just totally, totally different.
We were talking about John Tavares coming into Toronto tonight, and we kind of joke how we're talking about the game and saying, it could be his last, it might be, it probably will be his last time in an Islanders jersey. Do you think that's the case?
I don't. I think they're going to get it done there. I think this is more of a Stamkos scenario than it is a get-up-and-go scenario. I really do. I think they're working on everything they possibly can, including signing the winger that he's most recently played well with, Josh Bailey. And if you think about it, the last couple of times he was playing well with somebody, it was boom, out the door. Whether it was Kyle Okposo or Matt Molson or whoever it was.
Yeah, but Pooley, what about him making comments saying, I want my team to be a competitor, we want to win? With that goaltending and defensive core, that's just not the case. So if he's true to his word and what he's saying, the Islanders aren't close to the expectation.
They're not. They're actually not bad up front, but if they've convinced him that they've got pieces coming or they can do what has to be done, don't forget when they made that Hamonic deal, they got draft picks. They didn't get players in that deal. And then the idea at that point a year ago was to turn around and use those draft picks to help strengthen this team. They didn't do that. So they're sitting on those assets. Whether they've convinced him now, they're closer to the building. And, I don't know. I just don't know. He seems like such a loyal kid, and that could be misleading, but I think he's going to stay in New York with the Islanders.
With Dave Poulin, what's the sense on Erik Karlsson? I thought it spoke volumes last night that he was dodging the media. I think that was a perfect opportunity for him to come out and say, I don't care about the rumors. I don't care about the chatter. I love being here. I want to be here for the rest of my career, and I'm going to do everything in my power to sign long term. The fact that he went Kaiser Soze postgame last night, that said a lot to me, Pooley. I took a lot out of that considering what's already been reported, and it just moved even further into the direction that I think Carlson's going to move.
And Brian, I think that's very different from the Tavares case. I do think Carlson's going to move, and it would not surprise me if it's before Monday at 3:00 at all. I think that's something that could very well happen. I think there's enough moving parts there and enough chatter there. And, if you look at what he said, he's not going to take below market value. Okay, well, is he going to get that in Ottawa? That's question number one. Two, he wants to play for a full cap team. He's not going to get that in Ottawa.
Right.
Three, he wants to play for a winner right now. He does not want to be part of a rebuild or a retool. He's not going to get that in Ottawa because that's already started. So if two of your three are no's and your first one getting full market value is a question mark, I don't see how he stays or they keep him. And I think with the two playoff run thing, there's an interesting variable that a team can get two runs with him now, even if they don't re-sign him. And that's a pretty good shot. If you can look and say, we get a chance to win two cups in a row, and then we'll deal with how whatever we have to deal with at that point, that's pretty lucrative if, in fact, you have the pieces to make it happen.
Well, the getting paid idea, that, again, can be pushed to at least the summer, if not a year and a half from now. But
yes,
being a team that spends to the cap and being a team that can win right now, that cuts out, like, 25 teams. Like, how many teams check off both boxes that they're willing to spend the money, get to the cap, and they're capable of winning a cup this year? How many teams in the league would that apply to?
Well, let's throw his trade list into the mix, too.
Right.
There's a trade list in there that could weed a couple of teams out that potentially, you know, we might be thinking, well, he could go there. So we don't know what that trade list is.
You're talking about five teams, Pooley, bottom line.
Arguably.
Honestly, I think three of them are in his division. It's Tampa, Boston, and Toronto.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. And how complicated does that make this deal?
You imagine, guys, paint this scenario. Can you imagine revisiting a Chara situation from years ago if he goes to Boston and is their anchor defenseman for the next 10 years? That would be revisiting.
Yeah.
How busy of a time is it, Dave? How busy of a time is it for Pierre Dorion? I mean, is he just locked in a room right now with his team and he's just literally saying, what are you going to give for him?
He is, though. And I've been through this scenario before. When I worked in Anaheim, and we had a similar situation with Chris Pronger, and you know, at the trade deadline, and that's what we did. Inevitably, we waited until I was part of the scouting staff. Then we waited until the summer to trade him. But we looked at everything at that point, literally locked in a room with huge spreadsheets of what could potentially happen with the different deals around the table. That's exactly what he's doing right now.
Don Brennan from The Sun in Ottawa just tweeted out that Ottawa is playing Tampa tonight, shockingly enough. And he said, quote, "I didn't see it, but guys are saying Carlson faked going into the Tampa room when he got to the rink."
Now, that would be so Carlson. And he was, you know, we were down at the All-Star game, and the fact that he was skating with Kucherov and Stamkos in 3-on-3 was almost comical. It was almost like John Cooper said, "Watch this.
Wow.
This will be fun."
I could see that. And that terrifies me in Toronto. Like, the Leafs are up and coming, and I don't think there's such a thing as a super team in the NHL with the salary cap being what it is. But, man, if Tampa works that out and they don't have to take out a significant piece off their current roster and you add Erik Karlsson into the mix.
Well, Boston's got some nice young pieces, too, though. I mean, Boston goes pretty deep right now in prospects and what's not in Boston right now. They've got a half a dozen kids that they think are going to play, whether they replace players in their lineup and somebody from their lineup moves. So don't count them out either, Ryan. Don't, you know, and obviously both teams are a little too close to home for Toronto to would like to not see that happen.
Well, no kidding. Either one, you don't want to see it happen. You're going to face them in the first round or second round if you're lucky enough to get there. And
4 years to come, potentially?
For a long, long time. Well, and maybe the counter is any combination of these three teams. If you swing and miss on Carlson, you call the Rangers and ask about Ryan McDonagh. What's your take on him as a player?
He's not in the lineup tonight. He's not even here, so I don't know whether what he's got going, but they didn't even take him out of the lineup. They just didn't bring him.
Really? Thanks for coming out.
Yeah. You know what? You just stay at home, and we'll just pull Grabner 2 hours before the game and Nash right before the game, and we'll get the chatter going all over the place.
Oh,
here.
It's going to be buzzing, man. Something's going to happen tonight. Something will happen tonight.
It certainly sounds like it. I think there's a few sleepless nights ahead of this group. I really do.
Yeah, Bully, what would a Leafs for Carlson trade look like? Just before you go.
Crazy,
while you've been Bully in the room, you would kind of know what an offer would look like. What would something look like?
Well, the one interesting thing you say about that, is they have proven in Toronto that they can take whatever contracts they want and do whatever they want with them wherever they want. I mean, they've got, you know, I was looking at UFAs. I'm like, oh, geez, Joffrey Lupul's a UFA. And, you know, and Nathan Horton's not a UFA for a few years. And when you look at their salary on NHLNumbers.com, they're $10 million higher than everybody else's. And so You know, you think of that Ryan contract and how that could impact the return for Carlson. And there is a club that could take that contract on without an issue.
Yeah, they probably could. But, you might never see him again. But
Dave, you didn't answer the question. What would a leaf offer look like?
Get crazy, Pooley. Okay, come on now.
It's got to be one of Marner or Nylander.
Yeah.
It's got to be a first-round pick and a prospect. And then if you offered those three things and then took the Ryan money back?
Well, I think the deal would be done. I don't think the Leafs would do that. I think if you put the Bobby Ryan contract on the table, it drastically changes everything.
It does, unless you run into a situation. It doesn't change it for Toronto, though. They've proven that.
Well,
it doesn't. They're the one team that it doesn't change it for financially.
I guess if you make him disappear.
And so now, if you're still going to put prospects that are the equivalent of anybody else's best offer and take the money, if you were in Toronto and one of the other scenarios that we were talking about, Tampa or Boston, had that kind of financial clout and power, we'd be worried about it, Brian. We would be.
Yeah.
We'd be going, you know what? They could take that and make it happen.
You're right. All right, Pooley. Enjoy the call tonight.
Okay, have a great night.
There's Dave Poulin joining us from Montreal ahead of the Habs-Rangers game tonight on Overdrive. Brought to you by Valiant Financial for fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer. Visit valiantfinancial.ca. So John Liu just reporting that Carey Price suffered a concussion. He's out indefinitely.
Oh, of course he is.
How much do you want to bet he doesn't play again all year?
I totally.
Shut it down. Lose every single game if you're Montreal.
Antti Niemi, you're our guy.
Yep. Go in there. You're playing back-to-backs. You're playing every night. Shea Weber done. Carey Price done. They're going to trade off a couple of pieces.
And pull a Buffalo on top of the Toronto. If you make a save, we're trading you.
Somehow. Right. Don't pretend you know what you're doing. You're brutal and be brutal.
Yeah. They tried so hard to... Anybody that went in and made a save in Buffalo, traded.
Trade block. For nothing. Future considerations. Carey Price. Now, I don't deny that he's you know, he took a shot off the head, but he will not be coming back. I just can't see it. I think they're going to be like, we're done. Carey Price's kind of body language and attitude hasn't really screamed like he wants to be a part of the program right now, which could be a bigger problem for them down the road. But what's the point in winning? You're done. Your season's over. Tank. Give yourself the best opportunity at winning. The lottery. So Price is out, Weber's out, McDonough's not playing. He's coming off an injury, though, I think. Nash and Grabner aren't playing.
Trust me, he could play, but they just said, don't play.
Crazy.
It is mail it in time
if you're
in that group.
It really is. Well, I guess Mats Zuccarello was saying like he's not sleeping much these days because he's waiting for something to happen. Everyone could be out of there. Like anybody.
It's not a fun time. If your name's in the mix, you're calling your agent, you're saying, what's up here? I can remember sitting with my dad in Toronto in the rink with Jim Rutherford, and we talked to him in the stands before morning skate. He's like, what do you want to do? Because this, listen to this. He's like, this guy here, John Ferguson Jr., he likes you and wants you.
John Ferguson Jr.?
I stood up and told Jimmy, I said, well, make it happen. Stop pissing around here. I'm tired of this nonsense. I went back and it never happened, and then I got hurt, and I couldn't get traded. I pulled a greasy move, too. I blew my shoulder out, but I could still play golf.
How can you still play golf? How does that make any sense?
Well, it's one of those things. It's like you keep your arm in tight, and you could just swing, but you can't.
Yeah, of course.
I had surgery scheduled for 3 days later, and I was on the golf course every day, and I got spotted. If it was today, it would have been a scene because of social media. And
oh, you'd be getting tagged on Twitter, on Instagram, rinsed. On Facebook. Guys like me would be just going crazy.
This guy has the audacity to go out and tee it up.
Oh, I would have taken you out to the woodshed and laid a verbal beating on you playing rounds. We haven't even mentioned your boy who shot even par today in round one of the Honda.
It'll be +4 tomorrow and missed the cut. He's playing in the afternoon tomorrow. The wind is going to pick up. He played pretty good today.
Tiger Woods played pretty well.
But I'm just, and when I was talking to our boss, Jeff, today. I love the guy as much as him, as much as anybody else. But his post-round interviews are just, it's an excuse or you're not the Tiger Woods you used to be. You can't keep feeding people this garbage.
I don't think he's feeding it, though. I think
he's delusional.
The media is just delusional. The media is delusional. They're praying
well,
for him.
Well, why don't
they
grow a pair and say, Tiger, like, you're nowhere close to even competing. Why, like, what's
but what
wrong
does that
you?
Accomplish, though?
How, it's the how truth.
Do you, I know, but there has to be a modicum of respect for one of for the GOAT.
A modicum?
Look it up. Fact.
Hang on a second.
Quality use of the word.
What is the word? M-O-D?
I believe I-C-U-M, but I'm not convinced of the spelling. No one asked me how to spell it.
Modicum. The small quantity of a particular thing, especially something considered desirable or valuable.
Like respect. A modicum of respect for the GOAT. Can't go up to him and be like, hey, you know, you shot even, you're four
you
off, but you're
said
brutal,
a
right?
A very level of respect or something. You didn't need to.
Well, you didn't need to highlight it either and look up the definition of it.
You've never heard of that word before, ever. I've never.
How have I never heard of it? If
I've
just
worked with you for 5 years for 3 hours a day, I've never heard modicum.
I'm going to start bringing it into the rotation.
So someone said it to you in the last week.
I'm telling you, dude, this has been a part of the program for me for a long time. I just haven't dropped that kind of knowledge. It's a great word. It's the perfect use for the kind of respect that should be directed towards Tiger Woods. At least on the course. Off the course, totally different story. The guy's life has been a National Inquiry front page story for a decade now. But on the course, you're not going to go up to him and be like, Tiger, you suck, right? Like, you know you're brutal. You can't hit your drives. I hate your post-game commentary. You're fraudulent in terms of what you believe you're going to do. You're not going to do that to him.
Did you hear Justin Thomas's comments last week in L.A.? He was like, Rory and myself played with Tiger the first 2 days. He didn't make the cut. We showed up on Saturday. We were paired together, and we looked at each other and said, where the hell is everyone? Nobody was there. Gone. This guy moves the needle like you've never seen. The modicum of fans.
The modicum of fans. I'm the perfect example, man. I don't pretend to be diehard golf guy.
I am.
I'm not diehard golf guy. I love the majors. I love the Ryder Cup. And if it's a big weekend with a couple of players that I'm interested in at a quality golf course, I'll tune in. But if it's Tiger Woods playing at the Tam O'Shanter Open, I'm there. I'll drive there because Tam O'Shanter's within reach for me. If Tiger's playing in it, if it's a mini putt course, I'm intrigued by it. I don't try to hide that. I get chirped for that all the time. Like, people text in or tweet in and be like, don't pretend like you're a golf guy. I don't pretend like I'm following what Ted Potter Jr.'s doing every week. But I'm fascinated by the story of Tiger Woods and what he represents. Tennis, the same kind of thing. Roger Federer's playing, I'm in. Rafa Nadal's in, I'm in. Canadian content, I'll show some interest. The 85th player in the world, cool, you can have him. Go ahead. He's not going to show, that conversation isn't going to show up on this show. I have a modicum of respect for the audience.
We've got a modicum of good guests on this show and good content.
Thank you.
It's
not
been
my
a
job,
modicum
but
of best of the best.
Well, Antonio Daniels will join us, longtime NBAer. Get his take on this Kawhi Leonard story. Like, he's a former athlete. You're a former athlete. Imagine going to your team, the team that just cleared you to play, who they're paying you a lot of money. You're a playoff team, and you're like, no, I'm good. I'm just not going to play. Yeah, we got 25 games left. I'm not playing. This Kawhi Leonard story is crazy, and we'll get Antonio's take also on the idea of the playoff format changing in the NBA. We'll tell you more about that next. All right, Pierre LeBrun will be in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. Going to catch up with Steve Simmons as well over in South Korea. That gold medal game last night, we both stayed up for it.
Man, I was a train wreck in the morning. I couldn't get out of bed. I canceled everything today. Trainer, therapy on my shoulder, haircut.
What time did you crawl out of the wrapper?
What time did you?
7:50.
Me? Noon.
You got up at noon.
Yeah.
You went to bed at 2:30. You got up at noon. You still got yourself over nine hours of sleep.
That's what I needed.
Why? Are you a newborn? Why do you need over 9 hours of sleep? Like, I would love 9 hours. I'm not disputing the idea of
I was just doing the
liking
math.
It, but
I know
it.
I have a long day today. I do the radio, and then I go do the TV game. So I'm like, I got to rest.
So you set your alarm for noon.
I set my alarm for 8:10 a.m.
And just hit snooze for 4 hours.
Abused the snooze. And then I sent texts, not coming, not coming, not coming.
Roll over, shut down.
And for the trainer text, I do a little trick where I know he's mad and sends back kind of a smart. I close my eyes and I delete what he says so I don't even see it.
Why does he have the right to do that?
Well,
you,
he does.
You pay the guy.
Oh, it's a paid thing, too. If you cancel, you're paying.
Right, of course. Why does he have the right to shame you?
What?
Like, what is it about gym trainers and...
They're trying to help you.
I know, but not, like, by shaming. You just make me want to avoid you. Don't you think?
Oh, that's what I did. Erase, it never happened. I don't show up, and I get to live with myself and be happy.
That's a great idea, because you know what's coming back with a chirp.
Yeah.
Immediately delete.
Yeah. My text was... This is an expensive no-show because I'm missing therapy and the workout, but I'm not coming in. I'm too tired. And the response came up, just delete.
Yeah.
Just look to the right.
That's a great idea.
Horse eye to the right, and yep. Then out.
I was supposed to go see the surgeon today, but I'm like rebooked a couple of days ago and spoke with him. And the knee's coming along pretty well, so I'll see him in a couple of months. And
well, I told you to stop with the Klinko the Clown for rehab on your knee. You
no,
should
I'm
be
good.
Fully
I'm in a good
active
spot.
Right now.
I'm active, man. I'm not on the ice or anything, but I'm not a pro athlete. I don't
can
have
you
to
do
be.
The 10K again?
Not right now. I couldn't do the 10K if I had a perfectly functioning knee to
Dude,
begin with.
You were
with.
Pretty good last year.
I walked at
Although
least
were,
4K. Minimum were, 4K
I'm,
on the 10K.
I'm comparing you to me. Which was a disaster. I was so embarrassed a kilometer in when I said to you, I got to stop.
There's a part of me that thinks you jumped in a cab or on a bus because I left you in my dust around kilometer 3 or 4. And I only beat you by like 2.5 minutes.
I had to gut it out, man. I was gutting it out.
But how did you only end up 2.5 minutes behind me? When I was moving okay the other 6 kilometers. Like, did you start sprinting? Did you really start running?
That's what I basically did. I would do 200-meter sprints and then stop for half a K.
We are such pathetic losers.
Oh, We're talking
so
about 10K like it was a triathlon.
A 10K took us over an hour. Like an hour and 20 minutes for a 10K. People were finishing that in 30 minutes, 35 minutes, hungover in jeans. Hungover in jeans with a backpack in 35 minutes. You and I, we got 9 hours of sleep, stretching routine, preparing for it, and we did 10K in over an hour and 20 minutes. That, my friends, is pathetic. That is a modicum of pathetic behavior. Beyond a modicum. Bigger
the
than
old
that.
Modicum.
All right, so Antonio Daniels will join us here in a moment. We're giving away a pair of tickets to the Raptors Pistons. You can watch the Raps take on Detroit from the Bell Fan Deck on February 26th. You can win a pair of tickets every day this week between Landsberg in the Morning, the Scotty Mac Show, and right here on Overdrive. And the phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. We announced earlier this hour there is a prominent goalie in the NHL who has suffered a concussion and Owen and I don't believe he'll play another game all year. Who is that goalie? 416-870-1050. If you know the answer, you're going to see Raptors Pistons, Feb 26th down at the ACC in the Bell Fan Deck. So this Kawhi Leonard story, I'm trying to put a Toronto spin on this. Like, he is the face of the Spurs, and the Spurs have had a surprisingly successful season considering he hasn't played that much. I think he's only played 9 or 10 games. Now, they are the epitome of success. They're a well-oiled machine, that whole organization. And that's what makes this story so interesting for me is that this doesn't happen to them. Controversy does not fall on their lap in San Antonio. It never happens. They're 35-24. They're 3.5 games into a playoff spot, but 10 back of Houston and 9.5 back of Golden State. So there's a big separation between the top two teams in the West and everyone else, and San Antonio happens to be a part of that. But Kawhi Leonard's been out for quite some time with a injury, and the Spurs medical team has cleared him. Not just cleared him to practice or resume activities, cleared him to play, by all accounts.
I think he had a second opinion.
He did. During the All-Star break, he flew to New York, and that happens in sports.
A lot.
Athletes get their own second opinions, right? They talk to their agents, they talk to their managers, they talk to whomever it might be, and they say, thank you to the team for your own opinion. I'm going to take this elsewhere. That isn't a controversy. That happens all the time. That's not a shocking development. I'm not sure how many people understand that, but it does happen a lot. But he obviously heard some news at that second opinion that led to him returning to San Antonio and telling the Spurs, I'm not playing for you. To the point where Popovich came out last night and said he doesn't expect him to play again this season. They have 23 games left. How could you be cleared to play by the team and then you determine you're not ready to play, but you also, somewhere in between there, have come to the conclusion as an organization, he's not playing, period, over the final 2 months, let alone into the playoffs.
And it's going to come down to one element. It's probably, it's got to be money or what the hell is it?
Well, I don't think it's money because he's a free agent after next year. He knows that the free agency's coming, and when he becomes a free agent, Kawhi Leonard's going
to get
paid.
Then why aren't they dying to get him back out in the court?
Well, I think they are. It's obviously Kawhi Leonard that doesn't want to do it. Now, maybe he wants out. Remember, those rumors have been out there. Remember Jalen Rose went on First Take last month, and we had that writer from, who was it, Howard Beck, that came on and disputed it. Well, it turns out it feels like there's some smoke there, and there might be some fire. Maybe he doesn't like the way it's been handled. Maybe he doesn't like the way the Spurs diagnosed it originally or the treatment plan they
maybe
put forward.
Maybe he's flat out tired of being a San Antonio Spur.
He might be. He might be. He may want to go to a bigger, more glamorous market. For the first time in 20 years, the Spurs are creeping towards an existential moment. Tim Duncan's been gone for years. His prime is 10 years behind us. Tony Parker's getting old. Manu Ginobili's getting old. They still have LaMarcus Aldridge. But maybe Kawhi Leonard's thinking, you know what? I'm watching LeBron move. I'm watching Durant move. I'm watching all this focus on Golden State and Houston and Cleveland and Boston. And I don't want to be here anymore. And guess what's going to end up happening? Because the trade deadline's already passed. If he wants out, in the NBA, you get out. Kyrie Irving proved that.
That's right.
If you want out, you get out. Yeah. So if he demands a trade, and LeBron's a free agent, think about this upcoming offseason in the NBA.
Well, I was just going to say, in the NBA, who knows who's in this guy's ear saying, you come here or be a part of this or do this and do that. And
why does that work in the NBA and it doesn't seem to work anywhere else?
But still, I wonder what it factors into this year when you're healthy and you don't want to play or you're not going to play.
Well, that's the fascinating angle here. Like, can the team file a grievance against their own player?
I don't know.
Can you go to the NBA's Players Association and say, we're paying this guy a lot of money and he just decided he's not playing for 20 games? More than that. Like, wouldn't that be a fascinating development? It got to a point where he's like, I want out, I want to trade. And they're like, okay, if you want to trade, you know what we're going to do? We're going to figure out and get to the bottom of why you just decided you're not playing. Because I have heard disputes between players and organizations. This has happened before. In fact, if I can recall correctly, it happened at times last year with Aaron Sanchez, where Sanchez was reluctant to pitch because of the blisters, and the Blue Jays wanted him to give it a shot. Or at least those rumors had been out there that there were some conversations. I'm not suggesting it was a full-blown controversy or anything like that, but Sanchez, clearly sensitive to the blister issues that he had, there was some anxiety involved in him getting back on the mound, and the Jays are probably sitting there like, let's go, like, we want you out there. We've cleared you. We think you can go. This is the power of a superstar player, I guess, because if you're a plug, you can't get away with this. If you're a fourth-line guy, 10th guy off the bench,
it never even gets to
starter.
This situation if you're a plug. You're dying to get out. You have to get out there for your livelihood.
Yeah, you have to play. Like, that's the power of a superstar. Kawhi Leonard can shut it down, not play again, demand a trade, and still be renowned as a top five player in the world, and they will get a king's ransom for him in return, you would presume, and he'll get paid highest paid player in league history in a year. All right, we'll come back and we'll catch up with Antonio Daniels, get his take on this. He's down in San Antonio. He played with the Spurs for a long time. Pierre LeBrun in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. We're just talking about this Kawhi Leonard story. Let's head down to San Antonio now, catch up with former Spur, and he's now an analyst with SiriusXM's NBA Radio. Here is Antonio Daniel. Daniel's joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Thanks for doing this, Antonio. We're just talking about how strange this Kawhi story is. He's been cleared to play by the team.
Well, can we get some clarification on what the actual details are? His health? Is he healthy? Who's deciding for him not to play? What are the actual details?
No, I mean, the thing is, I think as a professional athlete, you know more than anything else when you're not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you're not. I don't care if you've been cleared by the doctors or not. The doctors are not in your body. No one knows your body the way that you know your body. Now, you may be cleared to play. You may be cleared to play. But when you get out there, something's not right. You're not as fast. You're not as quick. You're not as explosive. You're not as agile as you're used to being. So you know when your body's not right. So that's the only way that I can kind of focus this in on what the issue is. Kawhi Leonard doesn't feel right. And I have no problem whatsoever with a player choosing his longevity and saying, you know what, I'm not going to injure myself long term. I need to sit out until I feel right or until I get right, regardless as to what the doctors may say.
Well, what's interesting about that is that Popovich came out last night and he said, based on what he's hearing and what he's seeing, he doesn't expect Kawhi to play at all the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got 23 games left and then at least one playoff series, if not multiple playoff series. So, you know, it's one thing for him to not know his body, and I'm with you. I mean, the athlete knows that. Any human being knows that. But how do you jump to a conclusion if you're Kawhi or if you're the Spurs that he's not going to play again over the next 2.5 or 3 months? I mean, it's not like this is day-to-day. It sounds like he's done for the year.
Right, but I think with Pop, it's just, I think that was more to the guys in the locker room. I don't know if that was just I know how nowadays how you say something and it just catches fire. And I think Pop was basically talking to the guys in the locker room because you don't know. You have no idea. Pop has no idea. Kawhi has no idea. What if in 2 weeks from now, Kawhi Leonard wakes up and he feels great? So what I think what Pop is doing is basically bracing the San Antonio community, who is now dealing with something that they've never dealt with before, because this is different for the San Antonio Spurs. For the San Antonio Spurs to be treated or go through something that the other 29 organizations are going through, they're not accustomed to that. So I think what Pop is doing is bracing them for the worst-case scenario. If 10 games from now, Kawhi Leonard comes back and he says, you know what, I feel good and I'm ready to go. The fact of the matter is he's one of the five best players on the planet. You put him out there and you play. But I think what Pop is saying is, look, to our fan base, to our community, and to those guys in the locker room, we're going to move forward as if we don't have Kawhi Leonard. Then if by some chance he does come back, then we'll roll with that as well. But right now, him not knowing, the Spurs not knowing, the doctors not knowing, and Kawhi Leonard not knowing how his body is going to respond to this, I don't think there's any other way to go about it than the way Pop went about it yesterday.
With former San Antonio Spur and current SiriusXM NBA radio analyst Antonio Daniels here on Overdrive. So last week, the commissioner out in L.A. before the All-Star game said he was open to the idea of changing the playoff structure.
Oh, that would be lovely.
I'm all for it. Like, I'm all
Me
for
too.
The idea of playing games. Make it different. Change it up. Spice it up a little bit. As a former player who benefited from it because you won an NBA title, like, how would you feel about that? The idea of drastically changing things.
I would love that. Like, the 1-16 dynamic, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That structure, if you think about some of the games, like, and this is no knock on, making the playoffs is difficult to do in its own right because you're in the playoffs and the other 14 teams are sitting at home. But some of those playoff series, there's a reason that they put them on NBA TV. Or not on national TV like that, not on TNT, not on ABC. There's a reason why, because some of them don't have that spice that other playoff matchups have. But if you go East versus West, you can get a really good first-round matchup, East versus West, regardless as to how you look at it or regardless as to how you break it down. I would love it. I don't know how you make that happen as far as
travel is concerned. But I would love and welcome the change. The same way I welcome the change to the All-Star game.
Right, I thought that was great.
The fact that they switched up the All-Star game was awesome.
Yeah. No, it changed the whole dynamics of the All-Star game. I'm with you. And, you know, the idea of travel, that's always been the component that's been most difficult to figure out. If you end up playing, you know, Boston plays L.A. in the first round or Miami plays, you know, Portland, that's a crazy amount of travel. But those are the logistics from a team's perspective. What about the players? Like, would the players care? Would that be a part of the CBA that would have to be negotiated?
I don't think the players would care because, as a competitor, I would want the best two teams to play in the NBA Finals, regardless as to what conference they lie in. I want to see the best two teams play. If the best two teams this season happen to be Golden State and Houston, I don't think – like, it's crazy when two teams will play in the Western Conference Finals or Eastern Conference Finals, and they'll say, well, this is the actual Finals. No. The best two teams should meet in the NBA Finals. If those top two teams happen to be in the East, so be it. If those top two teams happen to be in the West, so be it. But like this year, right now, you have Golden State and Houston as 1 and 2. I would love to see Golden State and Houston meet in the Finals. Like, can you imagine? Like, that's different. That's different. That's a change that I will welcome.
Yep.
Just seeing the top talent and the top two teams play on the NBA Finals as opposed to, you know, it being geographically split as to which two teams will meet.
I'm with you. Great stuff as always. Thank you for doing this, Antonio.
Uh-huh, for sure. Thanks, fellas.
There's Antonio Daniels joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The Toyota Drive for Gold event is on now. Get great offers on a range of Toyota models during the winter games. Visit MapleToyota.com. I'm a huge proponent of 1 versus 16. I don't need the conferences. Like, what do I care about the conferences?
I'm fine with just simplifying, Brian, for travel purposes, 1 versus 8 in each conference.
So you're a traditionalist. You're okay with...
I'm tired of the matchups. I'm tired of pit wash.
Yeah. Here's what I would say about the way
it's
currently set up.
Tired of L.A., San Jose.
I know, but at least... you get that matchup. Like, the idea of Toronto-Boston,
I like
the fact that we're guaranteed that, or more than less guaranteed.
But if you're a fan of Ovechkin and star power, you at least want to give the opportunity to say, you know what, wait one more round to meet up. You know what I'm saying? Keep that player, that team around, if possible. And I know if you're going to win, you got to do it anyway, but just...
But 1 versus 16 gives you even that much further down the road before you would meet that team. Like, Washington wouldn't meet Pitt the past 2 years until the NHL, till the Cup final.
I don't think anybody would sign off on 1-16 in the NHL. The travel, it's an 82-game season. They're going to say, yeah, I just told you, imagine Florida versus Van in the first round. No thanks.
I understand
and
that could happen.
And it wouldn't be fair because if Vegas gets Phoenix in the first round, they're going to be saying, oh, we have to come off of that travel and face you next. It's not fair.
Well, life isn't always fair. Life isn't always fair. I mean, if you're in the business of entertaining people, then...
We got a fly. I got one question, Mulls. What did you do for your birthday?
I went home, poured a stiff rye and Coke, courtesy of you, and had 3 tacos. And then relaxed on the couch.
It's a wild guy right
there. So you only had one drink?
Well, no, yeah, but I'm just saying when I got home, that's the first thing I did.
So then you and your buddies went in your garage and got wasted.
No.
That's a weekend move. That's a tomorrow night move.
That's coming Saturday, yes.
Yeah. Oh, Saturday night. Wow. Leafs, Bruins, and Mullins Garage. You can't get anything better than that. All right, man. You're off to do your panel stuff.
We'll be back tomorrow at 4.
You'll chat then. I'll chat at 6 p.m. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.